When he laughs, and some of us make up all the dumb excuses of why we're not doing what we're supposed to do.
Right.
He laughs and he's like, yeah, go ahead and tell that story.
Right.
Uh-huh. Go ahead and tell that story. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Blame it on your mom. Blame it on your dad. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead and do that. That's good. I like that one. That's a good one. That's been used for a long time, but it still works. Still keeps you carnal. Blame it on your wife. Blame it on your husband. Oh, this is a classic one. Blame it on your pastor. That'll get you somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. Because as long as I can keep the blame off of me and keep the blame off of Satan, then he's cool with that. He don't want to be blamed for anything. He just wants you to go ahead and make up all the excuses of why.
Right.
And he wants to make you look like the fool.
Right.
He's back over going, it's worked for thousands of years and I'm still getting it over on him. Doesn't that make me, does that make you mad? It makes me mad. To think that he, well, some of y'all don't see it like that, but I'm giving you the reality of it.
Right.
He back over there in the corner and he laughing at you.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I don't want nobody laughing at me because I've been played for the fool.
That
makes me mad.
Yes,
huh? That makes me mad if I've been played for a fool and it's been intentional. I want to fight.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
My carnality.
Yeah.
Come on now. But how much more in the spiritual aspect of things to know that he's taking advantage of you and laughing at you the whole time?
Right.
Right.
That ought to make you want to fight.
Amen.
Yeah. One of many things Satan gives people to stop them from serving God, and I've heard it over and over and over again, and I say this with carefulness, regardless of who's here today and all of that kind of stuff, and who's not here today, I should say. I was going to preach this anyways. And these are in my notes way before I even got to see who was here. So I didn't alter my notes after I saw you show up. And I didn't alter my notes because they weren't here.
Right.
So when I say this, you got to take it into all consideration. But I've heard it said many times, well, I have to work. And I've got scripture to prove it. The Bible said, if any man provide not for his own, especially those of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I ever heard that?
Yeah.
That's why I got to work on Wednesday night. And that's why I got to work on Sunday night. And that's why I got, I'm supplying. I'm doing what the Bible told me to do. Really? Deny means to contradict, reject, refuse, or disavow. What are you disavowing? What are you rejecting? You're rejecting your faith.
Yes.
Faith in the Greek meant moral conviction, especially your reliance on Christ for your salvation. So what is it saying? He that provided not for his own, and especially for his house, has denied the faith, has rejected or disavowed his reliance upon Jesus Christ for salvation. And is worse than an infidel. Infidel is one that is disbelieving without Christian faith, especially a heathen, untrustworthy, uncredible. One that believeth not, one that is faithless, even an unbeliever. Well, there are a few scriptures on supplying for yours and working. Amen. There are multiples for trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what I'm saying? Trusting God does not mean you're lazy.
Right.
Because there's multiple scriptures about you working and not being slothful and not being lazy. So there's nothing wrong with working. There's nothing wrong with that job. But when you have put him, or when you put that job above God,
right,
and use scripture to reason away.
Amen.
All right.
That's where we're in trouble.
Yeah.
That's where our carnality has now reigned and our spirituality has waned. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, either yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Here's a counterbalance to that scripture of trusting God. What I understood in reading in the Old Testament of all those kings over and over and over again, God would use the mouth of the prophet and speak these words and say things like this: because thou hast not trusted with all thine heart in the Lord, you're going to be destroyed. That you sought after the Syrians to help you war. That you sought after the Moabites to have this war. That they were seeking help from other kingdoms to go to war.
Right.
And every time that they did that and did not trust God, there was great death in their lives. But every time that the preacher got up and he said to the king, he said, don't go to war, or go to war, or do this or do that, and they did it, every time that they trusted in God, they were victorious. And they had great spoils over the Egyptians, over the Assyrians, over this one. You want to know why? Because God is interested in your victory. God is interested in blessing you. God is interested in multiplying you. But he also is interested in you trusting him. So they still went to war, but they trusted God. You still go to work, but you trust God. But it's of our carnal mind for ourselves to adjust and reason and try to figure out all the different things and why not to.
Right.
Say, Pastor, what are you preaching us for? We're all here today. It's those ones that ain't here that are working today. That's why I said it don't matter who's here or not here. I'm preaching what I'm preaching, and as already said, it's done.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
I'm just going to preach. God will hold accountable whatever he's going to hold accountable. You see, God, Moses never did curse the people. Moses didn't bring about punishment to the people ever. He delivered the mail. Said, okay, God, I delivered the mail. The rest is up to you. And God did what he was going to do.
Right.
So I'm not worried. That's God's part. I don't care about that. God will take care of you however he takes care of you. And if he has mercy on you for 50 years, great. I'm glad he had mercy on you for 50 years. But if you die lost, that was pretty foolish.
Amen.
Philippians 4:19 said, but my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory. There ain't nothing wrong about with being wealthy. But where's your heart?
Right.
What's most important?
Yes.
If you neglect to provide spiritual things for your family as well as physical things, I'll tell somebody here this right now in a marriage type of situation. I'm going to tell you, you don't just owe your wife. Let me use it into the man spectrum here. You don't just owe that to your wife to put a roof over her head, clothes on her back, food on the table, but you owe her emotional support.
Yeah. Right.
You owe her spiritual support. Yeah. And when you fail in the emotional aspect and in the spiritual aspect, you failed all the way around.
Right.
Just because you throw money on the table and go shopping, honey, that don't mean that you're supplying for her emotionally and spiritually. Yeah. They all need to be done in order to be right. Because God not only supplies for us physically, but he supplies for us spiritually, and he supplies for us emotionally.
Right. Yes.
And he is our example.
Right.
Yes.
Well, praise the Lord.
That's good.
Praise the Lord.
2 Corinthians 11:14 said, marvel not, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Let me switch gears here for just a moment. I'm going to tell you, Satan is not scary.
Right.
I got to trying to figure out where in the world the depiction actually came up with him dressed in red with horns and a pitchfork.
Right.
Because when I read about what he looked like, he's beautiful.
Yeah.
He's beautiful. And he's tapping. Some of you are going,
are you crazy, Pastor? No, I'm not crazy. I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Right.
Lucifer is beautiful.
Right.
And he is talented. Very above anybody else in heaven. He was by far the most beautiful. He was by far the most talented. So don't get in your mind that the devil's going to come to you and go, rah, with a pitchfork and yellow teeth with fangs. I'm here to get you. No, he ain't coming like that. He'll disguise. The Bible said he can be as an angel of light. He can look so right. And he can make you feel like there can't be anything wrong with this.
Uh-huh.
That's what he did to Eve.
Yeah.
It looks so good. It's so perfect in its dimension. I've never had a fruit so perfect. And oh, the fragrance. And oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, there ain't nothing wrong with that. How can that be bad?
Yep.
How can that be wrong? What's he doing? He's using your carnality. He's appealing to your carnal nature. That's what he did to Eve.
Yep.
I'm appealing to your carnality.
Yep.
Oh, man. That turkey. He was the most beautiful and most talented angel of heaven until he tried to exalt himself into God's position. Let me preach just a few moments longer here, and that wasn't the first close. That was just letting you know that I'm halfway done.
Praise the Lord.
He doesn't want you to feel guilty.
No.
The devil don't want you to feel guilty. He doesn't want you to feel guilty. He doesn't want you to feel convicted when the preacher preaches. He wants you to push that aside and say, you know what? What that preacher doesn't know won't hurt him.
Right.
I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
Yes.
But you see, that type of attitude is carnal and it hinders the move of God.
Right.
Because it causes disunity in the spirit, thus stops revival.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Right.
That's right, Pastor.
And we say we want revival, but man, that carnality is wrestling and in a fight for revival.
Because
he don't want us to have revival. He doesn't want somebody to be delivered. He doesn't want somebody to be set free. He doesn't want anybody to be healed physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Right.
And so he uses the carnality in the church. And I'm going to tell you, carnality in the church has killed more people than anything else. Oh yeah. Carnality has done its massive amount, has a massive amount of casualties. Did Achan think that it was wrong hiding that Babylonian garment and that silver in his tent? Did he even care that 36 good men lost their lives, thus destroyed 36 good families because of his penalty of disobedience? Have you ever really considered taking the time on what your carnality is going to cost not only you, but cost your mama, cost your dad, cost your brother, your sister, the church family, and it goes on and on. You see, sin is so selfish, it only thinks about itself, and it doesn't realize the long-lasting effects that it has on everybody else, and how it hurts everybody else that's around it.
Right.
Has the devil got you to ignore the risk and say, I just don't see anything wrong with it? I know he has because I've heard it out of some of your mouths. I just don't see what's wrong with my haircut. I don't see what's wrong with my clothing. And I know I'm using some physical things. I'm telling you what it is. There may not be any sin in and above itself, but it's carnality. And it's going to kill you. It'll destroy you. Well,
It ain't sin. No, it's carnality. And it's just the devil having his way. Just slowly working, 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 working. Well, there's nothing wrong with what I'm wearing. And it's lies, lies, lies. That's right.
Right.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the way. No, it just looks like the world, that's all.
Right.
It just looks like Hollywood, or just looks like this, or just looks like that. It looks like everything else. That is, what am I talking about? What's worldly, temporal, and not eternal. We're talking about things that will destroy your walk with God.
Yeah. Right.
So it's not that big a deal. Well, you have reasoned it away in your mind that it's not that big a deal, and it is that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened is you don't have a value on your walk with God anymore. That is, that it's even valuable. It has no value to you.
That's it.
And I'm trying to get you to the place, does your walk with God still have value?
Right. Good preaching.
Does it still have value? Or have you reasoned it away and said, no, it doesn't have that much value on it anymore? It's not worth this. It's not worth that. So you mean to tell me that carnality has overwhelmed you in such a place and lied to you and deceived to you? His desperate actions have now overwhelmed you to the fullest degree.
Jesus, help, Lord. Help, Jesus.
Has carnality convinced you it isn't wrong and it doesn't matter what the preacher says? I say this in all seriousness and carefulness. You can fight me, but you can't beat me. Hear me. Because all I'm doing is I'm being obedient to God.
Yes.
And I'm just stating what God has for you.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm not trying to oversimplify this, but yet at the same time, it's very simple.
Right.
It's very simple. You can go ahead and say 2 + 2 = 4. And the devil can convince you that it's 5. Gwen was telling me about Jace's math the other day. She's looking at the math and she's like, well, this is the way I do it, and that's the way they're telling you how to do it? I got the same answer and the right answer, but why are they making it? It's that new common core math. It's like, darn. It's like, really? How? What? Yeah. Well, what's wrong with just doing math right?
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. And so Jace ain't figuring it out. He can't figure it out either, and it's dumb. So the enemy is just like that. He wants to take something and he just wants to convolute it and make it a mess in your brain.
Right.
He really wants you to get you to think and believe that I'm against you. But there ain't nobody in this house that's more for you than I am.
Right.
Amen.
There ain't nobody that wants to see you saved more than I do. There ain't no individual that wants to see you blessed more than I want to see you blessed.
Right.
There ain't nobody that wants to see you multiplied any more than I want to see you multiplied.
Right.
Nobody.
Hallelujah.
Too many people in the world have let Satan blind their minds to the truth.
Yes.
People who call themselves a child of God and have a carnal mind have destroyed more people than anybody else.
Amen.
Because while, I'll give you an example. And even preachers have done this because they, and I apologize, I'm sorry, it happens. But preachers are not perfect either.
Right.
They make mistakes, they fail, they stumble, they do all kinds of things. Okay? But I'm not living for the preacher.
Right.
I said, I'm not living for the preacher. That preacher don't do what's right. I'm not living for him. I'm living for God. That's where he's got all the answers. I'm not living for that preacher. I'm living for God, and thus I'm obeying God by listening, taking heed to the man of God in my life. Now, we can get to the place where, And this happens often, that the carnality of these two young men, and you got this new young man that's sitting on the same pew. These two guys are carnal, and he's wanting to live for God, and they're carnal, and they're still going to church, acting like it, but living in such a carnal way that it's affecting this young man. And he goes, you know what? I listen to rap music. I don't think so, not with this cowboy boots on. How do you say? Huh?
I was doing all that, and I got the Holy Ghost, and every time I turned it on, it hurt my ears, and I didn't want to listen to it. But these two guys that are living for God, they're doing it, and say, don't say anything to anybody. But, you know, it's not that big a deal.
And so, before too long, the carnality of these two guys damaged this guy.
Right.
Carnality is responsible for a lot of deaths
in the kingdom of God.
Yep.
Right.
Oh, help us, Jesus. And let me tell you, it's one thing to be carnal and accept that and realize that and even be able to be a man enough and be woman enough to say, you know what? I ain't doing so hot right now.
You know what? Don't hang out with me for a while. I got to get my head screwed on straight. I ain't doing right.
Right.
Yeah. Then to keep on acting and playing and causing confusion.
That's right.
Yeah. Each temptation cost her, cost Adam, and cost us a lot of misery.
Yep.
Korah said, follow me, don't believe Moses. He got them all messed up because it was appealing to their carnality. Satan says, what the preacher doesn't know doesn't hurt you. But it will in the end because of carnal minds. In the hands of a desperate devil will destroy your walk with God. Classic one right now that we're dealing with so much in our society. Y'all ready? Let's see, 10 more minutes. I just want to make sure you're ready. Classic one that we're dealing with right now in society is, well, God made it.
Yeah,
it's a natural herb.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're loving it.
Oh yeah.
Lord.
It can't be wrong if God made it.
That's the truth. That's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole lot of things that God made.
That's right.
Everybody's an adult in here and old enough. So I'm going to say it. God was the one who invented sex, but that doesn't mean it's all good.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, because now we got everybody saying, oh, just experiment. Talking to a guy the other day that was talking about this whole homosexual ideology and so on and so forth. And he had some different ideas about it. And I said, don't tell me, you can't tell me that what they're not they're teaching this stuff in the school. Don't knock it until you try it. So some of these are not, they are not born homos.
Right.
They are not born lesbian. They're not born like that.
Yeah.
But they're being taught this and bombarded on every side. Don't knock it until you try it. And so, now all of a sudden they think they're bisexual.
Right.
They like everything. No, they're deviant in their sexuality.
Right.
And they're giving in to that carnal side of their flesh that's deviant.
Right.
Right. But God made sex. He said, multiply, replenish the earth. That's how we do it. But you ain't multiplying and replenishing the earth by doing it that way. That has nothing.
Right.
That has nothing to do with it. You're living deviant. You're living in sin.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Willfully living in sin.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 I know this ain't what you're going to hear down at the big church, but I want kids to be raised right.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be messed up in the mind. There's too many people coming from you that the devil, and they made it just such a big joke.
Huh?
The atheist doesn't care if you believe in God or not. Just don't advertise what you believe. But TV can promote nudity, can promote violence and fornication and lying and murder and deceit and everything else. And it's okay. But I get condemned for saying, hey.
Right.
God's not pleased with that.
That's right.
It's not pleasing to God.
No.
Children are left with those electronic babysitters all the time just to keep them out of our hair.
Yeah.
They bring them to church and they mess with them in church and they do this and they do that. And they wonder, well,
Why isn't he living for God? Why isn't he love God like I love God?
You know something that was said the other night when Max was talking about living for God all his life, being raised in church, so on and so forth, and how thankful we are for that, never experienced a lot of those things out in the world. Well, sometimes, and this is for some of you guys that have been raised in church all your life. You hear the testimony of somebody being brought out of the world, say, i.e. your mom and dad, and they never knew this way, and your mom and dad can't understand why you would want to go out into the world. Well, sometimes mom and dad glorifies what they used to do out in the world.
Right.
And maybe they're not trying to glorify it, but it sounds like glorification. So the young person says, well, I'm not going to have a testimony if I don't go out and smoke pot and get myself so drunk that I can't see straight, get in a car accident and almost die 52 times.
Right. I'm not going to have a testimony. I'm not going to have a testimony if I don't go out and have sex and get some type of sexual transmitted disease and have a baby out of wedlock. And I'm not going to have a testimony if I don't have all this misery in my life.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Einstein, you're really using your brain.
And so we wonder, well, my kid doesn't think that this is attractive. And so, well, how have you really been portraying your testimony? There ain't nothing in this world that I want.
That's right.
I talked to somebody the other day, and they were telling me about their testimony in a little bit more detail, and I never even realized it, but they actually said they were so poisoned by alcohol that blood was coming out of their eyeballs. Does that sound appealing? Thinking, my God, have mercy. Who would ever want to poison themselves like that? I said, what made you want to do that?
I'm going to tell you, it's just carnality. It's carnality.
Right.
It's carnality. It's carnality. And the devil gets you to buy in that this is cool, of how much you can drink and how much you can smoke and how much you can do and all this other kind. And he gets you to buy into this lie.
That's what's attractive, and that's what's wonderful, and that's what's glamorous, and that. But I'm somebody that can tell you today, I don't know any other woman save my wife. I can tell you today, I don't know what it's like to be high. I don't know what it's like to have drugs, any kind of drugs in my system. Save for when I was in my back surgeries and I got Dilaudid and Percocet.
But I don't have them today. I don't take them because I understand there's a prescription drug problem too.
Yes, sir.
There's a major prescription drug problem. But I'm talking about being hooked on those things.
Right.
Messed up.
Right. Yes, sir.
Oh, God, help us. Oh, God, help us. Let me quickly wrap things up. I want your babies, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your husbands to receive the Holy Ghost and live for God to the fullest. But many of the carnal things that we allow and do that we love so much will hinder us, hinder them, and hinder the future of the church. You see, Jesus preached against the traditions of men and was murdered for it. I'm preaching against a lot of those type of things. I'm preaching against carnality. There's a lot of traditions that have been held. You've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. And I told this man the other day when I was testifying to him, I said, you've been talking all this time to a pastor of a church. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you really wonder where I came from. It's like, I said, I hate religion.
He goes, you did take the back on that one. I said,
because religion has never helped us.
Right.
Religion hasn't done one thing for us as humanity. Mm-hmm. But all the way from the beginning of time through the scripture. And he said, I don't even know if the Bible's true. I said, whether you believe the Bible's true or not, nothing in that word of God is about religion. It's about a relationship.
Yes,
and that's what the human soul has designed to get everybody sidetracked on religion. Relationship.
Hallelujah.
He's interested in his relationship with you.
he got murdered for it. Romans 8 and 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. What gets most of your attention? The world or God? Your desires or God? It is what you practice most that will tell your whole life story. And the great news today is, the Bible said in John chapter 10, verse number 10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We know that. But Jesus didn't stop there when he started talking.